This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Lots of conversation across the country about, you guessed it, the Maui fires. In the meantime, there is also a lot of legal maneuverings behind the scenes in the latest indictment for the former president, who is crushing everybody in sight on the Republican side when it comes to the race for president next time around in 2024. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope wherever you are safe and trying to make a go of it. Be happy, people, because if you're not, look up, get grounded, and think, if you have a normal life, whatever that is, that we're getting closer to the weekend. See, I love that when you climb over hump day, it's a whole different feeling, and we just can't help it, right? When we slide into what is normally the favorite days of the week of a lot of people, Friday and Saturday, the weekend. Remember the old song, everybody's working for the weekend. I totally get it. So again, my name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for hanging with us. And let's talk about a couple of things here right from the top. One thing I want to clean up from the top, because I got massive emails about this, is the Pennsylvania house explosion. When I say want to clean up, the thing that was so crazy is that a Ring camera caught this house at a suburb outside of Pittsburgh where it just, boom, exploded. I mean, it almost looked like a bomb was planted at the house, or what could possibly have been there. And, of course, they're still investigating the cause of the explosion. I had like six of you give me your theories. Nick's theory was that it was some kind of a hit. The theory of Joe, who listens to us in New Orleans, is that no matter what they're saying, that it was something to do with gas. So they're investigating the cause of it. Five people died, including a child. It was horrible. This is a sleepy neighborhood on a cul-de-sac, and all of a sudden on a Saturday, not even 10:30 in the morning, the 911 calls are all over the place because of this house explosion in Plum, Pennsylvania. People that were nearby fell on the ground because windows blew out. So people along that cul-de-sac were all affected by it in some way. So they're looking at a lot of different possibilities, including the homeowners having hot water tank issues. Yikes. When I heard that, I thought that was scary. And I'm thinking, how many people have hot water tanks? And are you paying attention to that? You know, this is the kind of thing that happens where, I mean, it's frightening to see the aftermath of this. The debris, the houses on fire, the structures destroyed, the people killed, and it could be that? Wow. I mean, wow, 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 wow. I had a 12-year-old that was killed. Just terrible. Looked like a war zone. And just people houses away say, it was so scary what happened to them, how they felt that explosion. And that is one theory that is really starting to pick up some traction. Mm-mm-mm. All right, speaking of a war zone, you know where I'm going with this, of course, to Lahaina and Maui. And any of the video, any of the pictures that you see, that's exactly what you see. A lot of ash, burned out buildings, and imagine people there that they're still trying to find more people. They know that there's more people there, meaning you've got cadaver dogs, you have all kinds of folks that are rushing to get as many bodies as they can possibly find out. I mean, frankly, you know, there was the sad story about the older gentleman who was friendly and waved to everybody in Lahaina. Everybody knew him, and he had this dog that was his friend's that he loved that was a golden retriever, and they found him on top of the dog, and there was more of the dog to identify than the man, because he wanted to save the dog. Just takes your breath away when you think about it. And then there's a story about the four members of the same family who were among the dozens of people that were killed in Maui. 106 were killed. 106 were killed. And now it's about figuring out what happened there. Looking at the ash of Lahaina, there's anger. There's, thank goodness, a lot of people reaching out. There's lots of aid for the people. But, you know, you get knocked back, you survive, you're in shock, you're figuring out who didn't survive that you know. And you've got these relief centers that you are going to because of the scorched earth of the place where you live. And the outpouring is so great. It's a wonderful thing. But the other part of it is now what? Now where are you going? How are you rebuilding? And, you know, what are you doing? I mean, this is destruction all around. So there's no power, no AC. This is what people are dealing with. Rented U-Hauls full of pillows and laying in the U-Hauls and, because there's just no space. And thank goodness, like I said, people are helping, but there's still so much picking up to do and figuring out to do and all of that in between. And already the conversation about lawsuits that are being leveled at this power company in Hawaii, because there are videos that are being shown of how it started, and it's not official, but it looks like this is a very real possibility, right? A real possibility. So we'll keep you updated on everything that's going there with the identification of people, the damage, why weren't the emergency sirens used to warn people, the cultural icons that are lost or damaged because of that, how the fire spread so fast, the federal response, all of that plays into the situation in Maui. Then it's about the indictments and what happens next. You have the Georgia prosecutor who is seeking a March 4th trial for the former president, Donald Trump, and 18 others. There is the realization that once they're booked, they have to come in by next Friday, and everybody would get mugshots and fingerprints and all of that. And they do things differently in Georgia and in Atlanta. In the case of this trial, it would be televised. So that means that people would be able to obviously watch what happens. And I can only imagine how big the ratings would be, how many people would tune in. It would draw a massive amount of people because of what this means to the upcoming election, what it means in general with 18 other people being tried, what it means for the people just even in Georgia, which is why they're very open about and do a system where they do televise what happens in courtrooms. Other states don't necessarily, and counties don't like to do that because they think it creates too much of a circus. Well, this circus is coming to town, and it is absolutely going to be one, whether it's televised or not. The women's soccer team coach for the U.S. women resigned. Lots of pressure there, as we know what they did in the tournament. Part of what we're talking about in the man cave.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Sports. So first off, are you curious about what the World Cup final has come down to? I want to thank CGTV Global China Television out of actually D.C. They had me on to talk about my impressions of the World Cup, the U.S., the ratings, the crowds, that whole thing. And I think the interest has definitely fallen off in the United States and the ratings show because the U.S. isn't there and because of the time of the games, too. So the World Cup final is England versus Spain. It kicks off on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. to watch that if you're interested in still watching the World Cup. All right, speaking of the women, the U.S. WNT coach, Vladeko Andonovski resigned after that flop in the World Cup, after that historic failure. It's not a surprise. I think it's not a surprise that he's not going to return. So supposedly it's going to be announced on Thursday. It's not official because the rumors out there, I tracked it down through a few people. They say, yes, I think it's being reported all over the place. But it's not official. It had been expected because of, again, what happened. It's the first time Americans failed to reach the semis at a World Cup and only the second time they left a major international tournament without a medal of some kind. No medals. No honorable mention. I mean, seriously, no medals. So he's the first coach to coach the U.S. WNT at two major tournaments without winning a title. So now they're looking, they're going to be looking for a coach. That's my easy prediction, right? And there's a lot of good candidates because, look, Paris Olympics, you look at this, Paris Olympics are less than a year away. And then World Cup in 4 years. And before you know it, we know how time absolutely flies. I mean, it's not like this coach didn't have success. He won a couple of titles with FC Kansas City in 2014 and 2015 and was twice the league's coach of the year. And he was hired in October of 2019 to replace Jill Ellis, who was incredibly successful. And he won his first 11 games, which was ironically the best start by any coach. And then COVID happened, and we know the rest from there. Things unraveled, and I think that on the field it seemed very disjointed to me. Like a lot of the players were just not in sync. So somebody new is going to take over. I have watched Hard Knocks, which is the HBO series where they follow a team, an NFL team, for leading up to the season. And this year it's the Jets. So it's been interesting to watch Aaron Rodgers and see how he kind of mentors Zach Wilson, who was the quarterback and who's now the backup quarterback. And then some of the young players trying to make the team and the yada yada, the typical things that you see in these training camps on camera. Well, New York Jets senior defensive assistant and cornerbacks coach Tony Oden was hospitalized after he was caught in what they call friendly fire. There was a skirmish during the Jets-Tampa Bay joint practice on Wednesday. Tensions were pretty high. Everybody was kind of chirping at each other throughout the day. And both teams got involved in a fight later on. He collapsed on the sideline, was tended to by medical personnel, and then was carted off the field as players, excuse me, took knees. They went to their knees. That's how scary it was. And apparently the Jets head coach just confirmed that he had to be taken as a precaution, and he's feeling good. I mean, this is a guy who's a 20-year vet, spent time with seven NFL teams since 2004 and was hired by the Jets in 2021. So that would be, I think, a pretty scary moment to see that happen. All right, what else is happening? One of my favorite things about baseball is about numbers and it's history, and you can never master the art of knowing everything about baseball. It's the great Johnny Oates, who was the manager of the Texas Rangers at one point and went through the Orioles system, told me, Kate, you'll never master this. Meaning, you know, I'd go down and I'd ask players everything. I'd watch games. I'd look at footage. I'd score the game. And he said, we can't even master it, like jokingly. So one of my favorite things, though, is the different ways to score, the things that will happen that are unpredictable. And to hit an inside the park home run and to watch it is one of the coolest things. I mean, you're saying that you smash the ball and that they can't get it to home plate. You beat them. It doesn't leave the park. So the Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Luke Rally got a one-of-a-kind type of bounce against the San Francisco Giants on Wednesday. Tampa was up 5-0 in the top of the sixth with one out and the bases empty. He came in as a pinch hitter, and he smashed the pitch in a triples alley for what was probably going to be an extra base hit. But the ball bounced off the brick wall in right field. The ball then bounced on top of the center field wall. Then it took another bounce off of it. It moved toward left field, and it confused the Giants' right fielder and the center fielder. So he hustled around the bases, and by the time they were able to get the ball, he was already rounding third base, and he cruised. Didn't have to slide, any of that. Cruised into home plate for a really unique inside-the-park home run. He made it around the bases in 15.3 seconds. So they did beat San Francisco 6-1. That's crazy. I mean, I love the timing of how long it took him to get around the bases. That is pretty fast. But it is a pretty big feat to be able to do that. It's really, 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 really tough. This is interesting. The U.S. Open is coming up, the world of tennis, but it's our big open in the United States, and lots of people come to the open from all over the world. So the U.S. Open is going to welcome some familiar faces from the past. Venus Williams, Caroline Wozniacki, who was a guest on this show years ago. The main draw play opens on August 28th. There would be a storyline if Venus Williams, who's in her early 40s, got deep into that tournament. That would be a huge, huge storyline. Wozniacki is a former number one in the world. She's playing for in the U.S. Open for the first time since retiring after the 2020 Australian Open at the age of 29. She's had a couple of kids, and here she is now back. And she said she wanted to come back because she didn't want to do it when it was too late and felt like there was more left in the tank. Tickets for Lionel Messi, or Lionel Messi as they say, one of the greatest soccer players in history, I'm going to call him, for the league's cup final in Nashville are going to be so expensive. It's going to be like Taylor Swift, seriously, territory, because he is lighting it up and is creating some serious excitement in not just Miami, but all over the place. So since joining Miami in late July, he scored 9 goals in his 6 matches, including another when Miami routed Philly 4-1 in their semifinal. Nashville scored a 2-0 victory over Monterrey in Tuesday's semifinal. So fans paying for the Saturday match, especially on the secondary market, where in Philly they saw prices soar to over $1,000 per ticket. They were getting them for a song before. They were practically handing them out for free. Boy, I think everybody in that league should thank him for how excited people are to go and watch soccer, because it's because of him he has really reignited that hunger, for sure. Training camp comes with injuries. Just a quick one to leave you with. The Tennessee Titans got a scare when wide receiver Treylon Burks went down during a joint practice with the Vikings on Wednesday. He was carted off with a little bit of a leg injury. He stumbled, lost his balance, somersaulted into the end zone, got up and spiked the ball. They think that he's going to be okay. All right, we're closing the door on this one. Thanks, Cap. Off for Nathan Reeder for his fine work on the technical. Some great offers coming up next.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Officials say the death toll from the Hawaii wildfires will likely continue to rise. What's already the deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history has claimed 106 lives. The economic cost to the island of Maui could reach $7 billion. President Biden is marking the one-year anniversary of the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act.
The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal Initially called my plan Bidenomics. But guess what? It's working.
During an event at the White House, Biden called the legislation the largest investment in clean energy and climate action ever. Well, never mind pumpkin spice season. It's already holiday shopping season with some big retailers rolling out string lights and Christmas trees. At Home Depot, holiday products including 8-foot Santas and giant nutcrackers launched online last week, and Costco is rolling out its artificial Christmas trees. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Rifles, the 1792 Militia Act and the War of 1812. James M. Gibson, the author of this book, joins us now here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. James, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So what prompted you to write the book? I know we talked off the air and you did a lot of research, and it's so fascinating as I'm a big fan of history, but what made you decide you were going to tackle this?
Well, basically, I found a interesting passage in the 1792 Militia Act, which, by my training, my background, told me was a caliber clause, which meant that there were requirements in the document for the weapon that the men were supposed to carry. And I had been told quite the opposite about the 1792 Militia Act by quite a few other historians. So I began researching the 1792 Militia Act and the history of it, checking into the use of this caliber clause. And I found it was a very interesting way to track debates on the act and modifications on the act by the references to its caliber clause. It kept coming up in the congressional record.
And what do you think people, and it's significant, but what do you think people should know about that?
Well, a lot of people today, they say, they want to say that the people didn't own guns at the time of the Founding Fathers. or others who say that they had no restrictions whatsoever, no requirements on the firearms that they owned. And you get both sides to it. And the reality is that in this one particular case, the 1792 Militia Act, the men had strict requirements on what they were supposed to own, and they had to bring it out twice a year to have it confirmed that the weapon was being well maintained and that it was functional.
Wow. And there's so many ramifications for that, including for 1812, the War of 1812 with this caliber clause, the shortage of rifles, right, in that war.
That is correct. It was a requirement that basically prohibited men to bring their rifled muskets because the caliber of the rifle musket at that time was below the requirements of the 1792 Militia Act. They were supposed to carry a weapon that was equivalent in caliber to the arms of the army at that time, and many of the men resented that.
And
they had their own ideas.
Yeah, and you found out that obviously it seems like what we talk about so often in history and in our lives, but there was so much politics that played into all of this, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Quite a bit of politics.
Yeah, historians, as you told me, historians versus the Supreme Court even at one point.
Well, again, the Supreme Court ruled in 1918 that the 1792 Militia Act was never enforced for more than a day because of the, quote, evidence brought by a lawyer to the court's attention. Now, it turns out that the evidence was false, but the court ruling is still upheld to this day that the act was never enforced for any given period of time. Now, on the contrary, I not only found that the act was enforced for at least the time up through the War of 1812, but a period of at least a decade or two after the war ended. But the 1792 Militia Act was actually amended at least three times.
Wow.
For an act that was never enforced, it certainly was amended a couple of times.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you talked about, and you talk about this, too, in your book. You talk about all kinds of things like the generals trying to negotiate a ceasefire. You talk about what we don't even realize about Andrew Jackson or General Pike. Tell us about that.
Well, the War of 1812 is where you find people like Jackson or Pike showing up, or people like the governor of Louisiana, William Claiborne. And you find people like Tecumseh, the Indian chief. You find Jacob Brown, who would become the general of the army following the War of 1812. Or Macomb, who would follow Brown as the head of the army after Brown retired from service. A lot of famous people show up in the War of 1812. You end up with James Monroe, who would eventually be a president of the United States himself. It's quite filled with some very interesting people.
And, you know, you talk about what people don't realize, too. We're talking about, when you talk about the War of 1812, you're talking about the first outside of our border.
It truly was.
And what were the difficulties there because of that?
Well, obviously, we had some difficulties. We had some cases where the men didn't want to actually cross the border.
That'd be a problem.
We had other cases where the borders were not too well established. So you're not too sure exactly where you were. The War of 1812 covered quite a lot of American territory and Canadian territory as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that, because in your book and you, how you break down the chapters, you talk about Niagara, you talk about Detroit, you talk about the forts, Harrison and Wayne. So very significant, and yet, unless you're in that area, a lot of people don't even realize that.
That's correct.
Because the border is not what we're thinking. So you're right. I mean, it is about the you know, what led up to the war, what led up to the War of 1812, and you tackle that right in the beginning of the book in the first chapter. You call it The Years Before 1812, The Silent War with Europe. What did you find that was incredibly significant about that?
Well, the thing that I found was most interesting is that a lot of people don't know how many different small conflicts or near shooting wars, if you want to put it that way, we had with Spain, England, and France following the American Revolution. We were friends with France and Spain against England during the American Revolution. Once the Revolution was over, they viewed us in a very hostile manner. And we had several near confrontations, ranging from the, what they call the phony war with France under the Adams administration, the Louisiana Purchase, which the Spanish were absolutely fuming about for almost two decades after Napoleon sold us the territory.
Yeah.
We had a lot of, as I said, a lot of near confrontations, a lot of near shooting confrontations. We had a lot of situations where we were sending troops here and there, particularly into Louisiana, and the records aren't exactly too effective as to why we were actually sending them down there. But we were sending a lot of troops.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fascinating. I mean, as a fan of history, and for people listening, you would love this book. I feel like we have an incomplete history here, and you filled in a lot of the blanks. You talk about the Battle of Tippecanoe, the first battle of the War of 1812, and what that was like, and as we mentioned, the conquest of Canada, and a lot of people don't understand that at all before, you know, in the very beginning of things, and what was the desire, because all you see is that the United States wanted land. Right? So let's get Canada.
Well, it was funny. Most people don't realize this. In the Articles of Confederation, we had a provision for the incorporation of Canada into the United States when Canada was ready to join us. That went all the way back to the Revolution. That they believed that eventually Canada would become part of the United States. The War of 1812 brought it to a head and was basically, we're tired of waiting for Canada to join us. We're going to force them to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everything in between is something that is thoroughly researched, and so congratulations on this book, A War Without Rifles, the 1792 Militia Act and the War of 1812. James M. Gibson, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Boundaries, the border of right and wrong.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Book is Can This Be Me? Time After Time. We have the author, Margaret Teagarden, with us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And what a story it is. And it will pull you in and pull you under, and you'll find out why I said that in just a second. Margaret, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
So tell me the road to writing this book. What made you write this story?
It's based on my real life. When I was young, my grandfather died tragically with a steam shovel accident, and my grandmother, my dad was the last of the family, and so she lived with us, and we're from the far west in Pennsylvania, and so we were all country bumpkins, but that was okay because we had good life. But then I started having dreams, and then my dreams sometimes became nightmares, and then I thought about them, and then one day I just started writing some of my dreams and some of my thoughts, and Can This Be Me was created.
Wow. And so you decided, you know, everything that was filling up in your head, all those things that you had taken away, those voices, and putting them into this story. And you talk about the character you poured into the main character, Christy. So tell me about Christy, who had a happy life, grew up as a child, had these great memories, just like you're telling me about your life and telling the listeners, but then you're struggling to breathe. So tell us more about Christy.
Okay, well, Christy, Christy was in at a reunion or a big picnic, and she disappeared from the group, and she found that she was by a shallow creek, and she found that she was being pushed in the water, and her head was being held under. Well, by the time she was ready to submit to the struggle and she was to die, somehow she wound up with her body. She was sitting alongside the creek, and she was okay. Somebody revived her, and she was saved by a non-force hand that, and her father found her sitting on the bank, and she was okay. But then she kept hearing these voices calling her, and she kept following the voices. They kept calling her, and everywhere that they called her to took her to a destination that it would be very harmful. It would be even cost her her death. The whole purpose to the voices were to end Christy's life. And it was a force that she couldn't do anything. She couldn't reckon with them. So it was pretty much the near to her end. And then through the story, she went, when the voices called her to different locations. She went into a trance-like state and was moved from one area in time to another. She went into at one point she wound up in the cobblestone pavement in like around London, around old England, and she was at that point in time, she was a man, and he was an unfortunate man. He lived in a stable, and the people made fun of her and him. And when he passed, at his tragic death, she was transformed back into Christy. And as soon as his demise, Christy went back to her own life. So that happened several times through her life. Every time that she went into a different life, it was a different circumstances. Every circumstance was different, but they all ended up supposedly to be a tragedy. Christy was to die.
But Christy survives that, because, I mean, you're taking us on this journey, and people will find this out when they read your book, Can This Be Me, time after time. But we're talking about the paranormal. We're talking about being transported, seeing visions of someone's past life and death. And the deaths have to be tragic. You have to feel, I would imagine, Christy, the character in the book that's modeled after you in this novel, feels that pain and struggle. That's tough.
Yes, she felt all the pain. She struggled. She was tormented. It was a very, very tragic ending for the person who was in Christy's life at that time. But Christy always recovered back to be herself. Although that person at time died, the spirit remained back to Christy. It came back. So it was her spirit that was, the spirit was an earthbound spirit. The way I believe, or the way I see it, is that we all have a soul. And I don't want to go to any religious realms or anything like that. I just want to let everybody understand that, to me, we have one spirit. That spirit has a goal in its existence. Until you reach that goal, you keep coming back until you follow the goal that was your purpose in this spirit world. The soul that was with Christy was earthbound, refused to go into the spirit realm. It wanted to stay earthbound. So to stay earthbound, it had to get rid of Christy. Christy had to die for this soul to remain on the plane.
Wow.
On the earth. But it went over and over it several times. The area that it was portrayed in was in southwestern Pennsylvania. The tragic accidents and stuff that happened in my book. Everything happened in and around the Washington area and Pittsburgh area, Steel City. The final scenes were outside of the Fort Pitt Bridge, right over at the end of the bridge that was called the Bridge to Nowhere for a while, because it had no the diagram or anything hadn't been built yet for that bridge, so it was dubbed the Bridge to Nowhere for a long time.
Wow.
And anyway, at that point, that's how things was supposed to end, but it didn't end. To Christy, it ended, but then it took her into the heavenly realm.
Yeah. We don't want to tell everyone everything, but it is all about who pushed her to the creek, who's trying to drag her in deeper into the water, and who saved her just from the threat of her life was going to snap out. And when people read this book, Margaret, what do you hope they take away?
I hope that they take the fact that I am not a religious person. I do believe in the Almighty. And I know in my heart that no matter what happens in our lives, there is always a chance for miracles. And miracles do happen. And I want people to believe that there's not always an end to everything. If your faith is strong enough, you can pull through almost anything.
What a perfect place to end this. And again, Can This Be Me, Time After Time, Margaret Teagarden. You can get that book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Plus, she has another book, Waltz Through Eternity. You can pick that up, too, as well. Margaret, thank you.
Katie, you're very, very welcome. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.